Now, I briefly mentioned cation exchange capacity in the clay minerals. So our solid bends can have sites in it with cations in them, and those cations may be able to move out of that solid, and we can put another cation in its place. That's called cation exchange. So in a sediment then, and colloids, we have clay minerals present, and clay minerals have a high cation exchange capacity. The other thing with a decent sort of cation exchange capacity is our humic and fulvic acids. Okay, those guys we know are polyprotic acids. And as a polyprotic acid, if you lose the H+, you could put a K+ in place of them. So again, the humic and fulvic acids are also a repository of cation exchange capacity. Now, in the case of the humic and fulvic acids, clearly going to be pH sensitive. A clay mineral as well. The clay mineral might primarily have H pluses sitting in cation exchange sites. The salt concentration in the water surrounding the sediment, that will influence as well the charge state of our mineral, and that will influence the cation exchange capacity. How we measure it, we typically take our solid and we replace all exchangeable sites in the solid with ammonium. So this, your cation exchange capacity in your clay mineral then, some of it's sodium, some of it's potassium, some of it's H+. You simply flush everything off with ammonium, and then after that, you can take that total value for the ammonium as your cation exchange capacity for the solid. You can look at what you've kicked off and classify then what exactly was in that cation exchange capacity. So in this case here, we're saying there could be some sodium, there could be some manganese present. What's left behind will be your exchangeable protons in the cation exchange capacity. So the typical units then are centimoles per kilogram. The older literature had 1 milliequivalent per 100 grams. Now, a milliequivalent is a millimole. Okay, so you probably want to sketch that down as well. So in the olden days, people then used to do it on the basis of 100 grams of your clay mineral. They would figure out how many millimoles of cations could be released from that solid using ammonium. These days, it's done on a per kilogram basis, and because of the normal amounts that you get out of solids, it's usually in centimoles rather than in millimoles. Yep. The numbers are the same, yep. If the charge changes here, then you've got to use a multiplier in the thing. Yeah. It's done on the basis of replacing it with a 1 plus charge. Now, if you want to try and figure out what exactly is inside that cation exchange capacity, you measure all of the ions that are present, and then you'll allow for these things in the equation. The cation exchange capacity then is able to act as a pH buffer, because if you have got potassium's in your solid and you've got high H plus in the water, then you can put H pluses in and kick sodiums out. The other thing it does, it acts as a metal repository. So if you've got a water which is being polluted, you've got a cation exchange capacity in sediment which is significant, you can take some toxic metals and exchange them into the sediment quite readily. This is both a good and a bad thing, because you've taken it from an easy place to clean up the water and put it into a bad place to clean up, which means you have to dredge the entire river that you're looking at, or take the entire estuary and process it. So there's a number of places in the world where, in fact, a classic case is Tassie to Derwent, in a pretty ordinary sort of condition.